Friday, January 10th, 1941, was one of the truly terrifying nights in the life of Boris Karloff. The curtain had risen at New York's Fulton Theater for the premiere of Arsenic and Old Lace, a black comedy penned by Joseph Kesselring about two sweet old ladies and a set of lonely old men they believed they were helping. As Act One wickedly rolled, Josephine Hull as Aunt Abby, Gina Dare as Aunt Martha, Alan Joslin as Mortimer, their drama critic nephew, and John Alexander, his brother, who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt, all Broadway veterans, had been reaping huge laughs. Meanwhile, Karloff haunted the wings of the theater, his lucky silver dollar in his pocket, awaiting his first entrance as the family's truly notorious black sheep, Jonathan Brewster. Jonathan was the kind of boy who liked to cut worms in two, reminisced Joslin, with his teeth. Ha ha ha! Karloff might well have wished he were back at Lucy's restaurant in Hollywood, where he'd timidly agreed to his Broadway debut over lunch with Russell Krause. The horror king was the first and only choice of Arsenic and Old Lace producers Krause and Howard Lindsay to play the role of Jonathan. Krause had been amazed when Karloff had originally given him the fastest no he'd ever received. As Karloff explained, in the eyes of New York playgoers, I was strictly a film player, and I'd be darned if I'd take a chance by starring in my first big city play. If, I said, there were a couple of other parts better than mine, it'd be okay with me. As it turned out, of course, the two old aunts were the stars of the show, its very backbone, and what a splendid job they did. My part was simply mustard on a plate of good roast beef. Still, Karloff began rehearsals in a panic. He stuttered. He lost his voice. He once walked the streets of Manhattan all night trying to conceive a gracious way to leave the play. But he'd survived the tryout in Baltimore, and now he was rapping on the set door, hearing Gina Dare say his entrance cue line, "We'll all just have to pretend we're not at home." Boris Karloff stepped before the lights to the applause of the first-nighters, and the rest is history. That from a study of Lugosi and Karloff by Gregory William Mank. As we heard, Boris Karloff said N-O, no, when first asked about joining the cast of Arsenic and Old Lace. Even during rehearsals before the opening on Broadway, he was trying to find a way to withdraw. His heart in his mouth as he knocked on the door for his first entrance. Well, as we'll hear, the opposite was the case on North Main Street in Wilkes-Barre. Actors were almost breaking the door down to audition for a role in the current production of Arsenic and Old Lace, opening this Friday at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre. Eric Lutz directs, and he and Brenda Fager, who plays Aunt Martha, and Tyler Florian, who has the role of Mortimer, dropped in to talk about the production and why there was such interest in doing the dark comedy. Eric Lutz.
I limit myself to directing maybe once a year at most, because directing is so much more involved than just being an actor. And so I have to have a show that really resonates with me personally. Little Theater has asked me to direct things before, and I've always turned them down because I don't have a personal involvement in the show. And so whenever I take on a project, I want to make sure that I have a very great personal investment in it, so that way it makes it the best production that I can make it.
It's not oldie moldy, but this is an older piece. Why did you want to go back to an earlier time in theater?
I do think that, like, I would say that this is a classic. And it can't be said for all of the plays of yesteryear, but this one has aged particularly well. It still is current, and the references aren't too dated, and not all those shows are like that. And so I think it has a timeless quality about it, and it doesn't matter how many years into the future, people will still be doing this.
You've been advocating for it for 3 years. Why do you think Little Theater finally said, yes, this is the year? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't know why they picked this show in particular, but I do applaud their selection process. You know, as you said, they do a lot of musicals and they pick more popular musicals because that'll really sell the seats. But then they will also do, and like this one I think is going to sell really well because it's very popular, but it also helps pave the way for more experimental shows like earlier this year they did The Pillow Man. And so things that you're still getting exposed to newer or different shows, but also at the same time honoring classics.
And we understand as well from those who were there that you had so many people at auditions that you didn't know quite what to do.
You know, you only have a certain amount of time to audition. And, you know, the total was 51 people, which was an insane amount of people. And so, like, on the initial days, I could only have people read once. If you were lucky, you got to read twice. But then I would have to have people come back for callbacks where I was really able to, you know, narrow it down and spend more than just some arbitrary time with people.
And Brenda, why did you come out for Arsenic and Old Lace?
Well, I'm a theater teacher and a playwright, and I've been wanting to do local theater for a while. And this period of time, first of all, worked out really well with my schedule. And I love this show. It is a classic that I've done with students before. It's so much fun. And so I knew Eric from another project that we had worked on before. So I decided just to go for it, and it was a lot of fun.
And what do you love about Martha particularly?
I think I like Martha's joy. Martha just has such a level of joy in everything about her life and about living with her sister and in about the choices that they've made and in about what they do. So, yeah, I identify with that.
Do you know anyone like, or have you known anyone like Martha in that regard?
In choosing joy in her life? Well, I identify some, not in these specific choices that Martha makes. No spoilers. But just that I have chosen in my own life to live through a filter of joy. And then there are two or three mentors in my life that have lived really with that choice of focusing on finding the joy in everything that's there in front of them.
And who is your sister? Who was cast as your sister?
Jenny Frey, who is a local actor here, and I know that she's done so many shows.
She was Bunny Flingus in last year's production at LTWB, House of Blue Leaves.
And so it has been marvelous. I did not know Jenny before auditions, had never met her. And now we play sisters. And really, the way that she responds and we respond to each other, you would think we were sisters. I mean, it just is so natural on stage with Jenny. It's almost as if we don't have to work at it. It just comes naturally being with her on stage.
Tyler, same question to you. Why did you decide to try out for Arsenic and Old Lace?
Well, like we've been explaining, basically, I love classics. I love classic theater. I love classic film. Arsenic and Old Lace is just such a fun time. And I love a good dark comedy, and this fits it perfectly. It's just such a fun time. And I love working with this whole cast. I knew it was going to be a big turnout, but I didn't think it was going to be that big. But just going into it, I was very intimidated going into it. I'm like, I'm probably not going to get anything. I'm hoping I might get a callback. I was just really excited to get this far and go alongside all these great, talented actors and work with such a great crew as well.
Without giving things away, because that's the fun of it, tell us about your character.
So Mortimer is a family man. He cares a lot about his brother, his aunts, and his relationship with his fiance, Elaine. So he's very humble and loves them, and he's a big theater critic. So he's very sophisticated and thinks very highly of himself and the world around him.
Does he have any sense of what's going on or that there is something going on?
Without much spoilers, not really. But he does eventually learn about things. More than he would like to.
And do you two, Martha and Mortimer, have any interaction?
Oh, plenty.
Yes. Yes, we're on stage quite a bit together. Our characters, he's one of our three nephews in the show. And so, yes, we love Mortimer.
And I love my aunts very much.
That's as it should be, isn't
right,
it?
Right, exactly.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Now, there is a brother. You have a brother who has a distinct way of going through life. Eric, whom did you cast?
So I believe you're referring to Teddy, who thinks that he is Teddy Roosevelt. And we cast Jason Narkunis for that role because he had this like childish naivete that I really, really liked at auditions.
Are you playing it as we would have seen it in the 40s? Are you updating anything or are you just taking it as it would be years ago?
Yeah, no, I mean, we haven't changed any of the references or updated it in any way because I don't think this play needs it, actually.
Martha and Mortimer, you're both nodding, right? It just...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's very natural. It plays very naturally in its original conception.
Exactly, yeah. And maybe like we might add some things here and there that weren't in the script, but still it's perfectly in piece with the period as well.
You all know how tricky it can be to play comedy, especially when the audience is doubled up. And you have to know when to talk through it and when to take that beat and then keep right on going. Have you had anybody in where you could get a sense of when those laugh lines are going to be particularly strong?
I think one of our best qualities with that was when some of the actors weren't on stage, they'd be out in the audience reacting for us. So we'd hear from them, we'd get feedback from them as well, with our crew as well. So we always had somebody at least giving us feedback on how we were doing.
Yeah, it's nice to have fellow cast members, like Tyler said, sitting in there, and you'll hear that and think, okay, this may be a laugh moment for an audience. So then... You know, you get ready for that, right? You get ready for it and know whether or not you're going to need to pause for a second or whether it's one that's a small laugh and you can keep going through it.
And also to go along with that is comedy is precise. And so some of the bits that we've created, you know, we had to go over it a few times because if you're not at the beat at the right spot, the joke will slip and then you won't get any laughs.
And as a theater educator, Brenda, you... have done this with your students. Why is this a great exercise for them?
Well, I find one of the things that a piece like this teaches my students is comedy is a very delicate kind of theater. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times when you play comedy, you don't want to play to the comedy. You want to play the character because it's the character themselves that's funny. And if you play to the comedy, if you play to the funny, then you actually lose that. So it's a great way to teach students how to play genuine characters who are themselves funny, right? And let the audience then determine where that funny comes in.
From your description, Mortimer doesn't sound like a comic character, overtly.
I do get cast as a straight man in the comedy situation, but... it works well. I don't know. There's something about me that I work well as the straight man in the comedy scene, but I'm able to get a laugh out or two. So that's always my best quality.
He gets a lot.
I try.
So is it a drawing room kind of comedy? Do you have a set that is traditional in that way?
We're actually I've leaned in a little bit to the more farcical elements of the show. So it has its dark comedy roots, but we've also added more farcical elements because there are certain things that get moved around like a traditional farce. And so I kind of took that as an inspiration to play up a little more madcap than maybe originally it was intended for.
Do we all need to laugh right now? Do you see that as part of the pending success of this play?
So, especially right now, you know, laughter is king. And the more opportunities you have to go out and experience things that are fun and things that give you joy and things that will make you laugh, I say the better because, you know, not everything in your life will give you that.
Martha, you are someone who's set up with your sister to bring that to us.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Abby and I both are women who see the joy in life. We are looking to bring, as we say in the show, to bring peace and comfort to those around us, to bring the joy of life that we have both found, contentment in our life. And so we're looking to share that with those around us.
It wasn't too long ago that there were people here from Diva Theater applauding a new piece, an original piece, talking about how good it was to have a play that casts women in good roles of a certain age. Do you feel that?
I do. It's marvelous because, and I think we see that more than we have in the past. Like, we went through a period of time where there didn't seem to be, not that there weren't roles for women older, but theaters weren't doing those shows. And now it feels like those kind of shows are coming back. They're becoming popular. They're realizing there's richness to those characters, that there is comedy in those lives, that there's interesting stories. So, yeah.
And Eric, this sounds like it's spitfire. It sounds like once you get going, you keep going. Is it that kind of piece?
I believe so, especially once it gets ramped up and it starts to go forward. Because, you know, there's even another brother that we haven't even mentioned that gets thrown into the mix. And it goes from 0 to 100 very, very quickly. And there's a lot of coming and going and in through windows and out through the doors and up the stairs and down the basement. So, I mean, it is nonstop. I feel bad for the one character who has to take a bunch of suitcases from the second story, because our set is two stories, down, walk around on the set, and then he has to drop it. Then he has to pick it up and then go upstage, which is actually the basement. So there's a lot of physical bits as well.
Do you use any incidental music before or after or anything at all?
So I'm actually making a choice to be a little anachronistic, and I'm going to have a postmodern jukebox play beforehand. And I'm making a few selections right before the show starts. So I think that'll be fun.
Mortimer, if your character is stuffy in a way, even so, does he have physical bits?
So when I was cast in this, I remember Eric telling me, get ready for a lot of physicalities for this. So I was preparing myself a lot for this because my character does go through a lot of the physicality, like he had mentioned. There is a lot going on in this. And like we had also mentioned, we had a lot of rehearsals where we'd be running a lot of the stuff we're choreographing and the show that doesn't seem like it needs it, but it does need a lot of physicality bits and choreography.
Do you stay in the same garb for the whole show there?
Yep. My character is getting ready to go to a theater show, so he's all dressed up and he stays in it the entire show in his theater garb.
And the ladies?
The ladies, we actually have two costumes we wear. And without giving anything away, I won't tell you what it is the second one we wear. But we do get the opportunity to change costumes. So it's fun.
Who wants to tell us where and when?
So we open this Friday, May 9th, and May 10th, May 11th, and next week, May 16th, 17th, and 18th. We have our normal 8 o'clock shows on Friday and Saturdays, and then we have a special matinee on Sundays at 3.
This is the kind of piece when you're all through, there will be an especial letdown.
Definitely.
Don't you think?
Definitely. Oh, no, definitely. This is going to be a show that I look back on and think, oh, my God, it was so much fun. There were so many lines to memorize, but I'm so sad it's over. Oh, I'm so sad.
I just hope that they feel that way at the end of this week, which is Tech Week. So.
Yes, we do too.
If that many actors want to be part of it, that says an awful lot.
I'm so fortunate that these people said yes and they wanted to do this show with me, because I think so far we're having a really great time.
Director Eric Lutz, Brenda Fager, who plays Aunt Martha, and Tyler Florian, who has the role of Mortimer, speaking with us about Arsenic and Old Lace, opening this Friday at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, running this weekend and next, May 9th through the 18th. Shows Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sunday matinees at 3. The Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre is located at 537 North Main Street. And for more information, on the web, ltwb.org, ltwb.org. Arsenic and Old Lace at the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, May 9th through the 18th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3, ltwb.org.